We want to, of course, begin our morning service with prayer. So would you please bow with me? Our Heavenly Father, gracious God that you are, we glorify you this hour. Lord, thanking you for the love that you have poured out upon us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, that you have loved us like this, that you have drawn us to yourself, that you have called us, Lord, to your side, and that you have made us sons and daughters of the living God through Jesus Christ. We praise you. We thank you that you purchase us through the Son's blood. And Lord, may we worship you this morning. May we show our thanksgiving toward you for the great things you have done. For no one has ever loved us like you. You are the one and only true God, and we praise you. So Father, as we worship through our song, as we worship through the reading of the word, as we worship through the exposition of the word, we ask, O God, that you would be honored and glorified. And we pray these things in Christ's name. And the church said, amen. Would you please stand to your feet? Let us sing to the Lord.
Good morning, family. This morning's reading from John 8, 21 through 30, page 79 in Pew Bible. He said, therefore, again to them, I go away, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. Therefore, the Jews were saying, surely he will not kill himself, will he? Since he says, where I'm going, you cannot come. And he was saying to them, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I said, therefore, to you, that you shall die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. And so they were saying to him, who are you? Jesus said to them, what have I been saying to you from the beginning? I have many things to speak and to judge concerning you. But he who sent me is true, and the things which I heard from him, this I speak to the world. They did not realize that he had been speaking to them about the Father. Jesus therefore said, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he. And I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me. And he who has sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. As he spoke these things, many came to believe in him. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we come before you right now, Lord Jesus, just to give you thanks, praise, honor, and glory. We know, Father, that you are all things. As we prepare for the service this morning, Lord Jesus, we ask that you touch our hearts, soften those hearts that have been hardened, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to bless this congregation, to bless the people that are here today and those that couldn't be, Lord. As Pastor Tim comes up to teach us our word, we pray that, Father, give him the strength and the power and the wisdom and that we may open our eyes so that we may see and to open our ears that we may hear as he preaches to us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, church. It's good to be in the house of the Lord together. Amen. 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 This morning our sermon is entitled, Many Came to Believe in Him. This morning, in churches all across these United States, there is a huge choir of good and faithful evangelical ministers who are specifically preaching to the lost, encouraging those who have not come to a saving knowledge of Christ to believe and trust in him. And then there's another choir, a much smaller choir of good and faithful preachers who are ministering specifically to those who have believed upon Christ, encouraging them to live as Christ would have them, preaching for their maturity. Then there is a small ensemble of ministers who are addressing those in their congregation who have some kind of a knowledge of Jesus, who believe many of the biblical facts about Jesus, who attend church, who call themselves Christians, but who have actually failed to fully embrace Christ as their Lord. The introduction on your handout. As the Lord is willing, today and the next Lord's Day, we're going to join this small ensemble, for as we open the scriptures, the teaching is going to be geared toward this latter group, toward those who think they are spiritually well when they are not. Such is a perilous place to be, to think oneself healthy when they are not, for such a one takes no corrective measure. We must be sure that we truly believe in Jesus. And the church said, amen. Well, we are most certainly concerned with bringing the lost sheep into the fold, amen, and maturing the sheep to healthy adulthood, amen. It is also our loving concern that all who are in the fold are truly sheep. Now, frankly, I don't think that there are any here today who are wolves in sheep's clothing, but what I am concerned with is that there may be those who look like sheep, who act like sheep, who baa like sheep, who say they are sheep, but who have not truly embraced Christ as their shepherd. Letter A. This matter is of utmost importance, for Jesus is the one and only good shepherd, for he alone laid down his life for the sheep. We desire very much to help each one to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they are secure in their salvation, that they might rest assured knowing that Jesus Christ is their shepherd. What I have in mind this morning is my love and concern for you, which of course is prayerfully the love and of our Lord, that each of you would be a true believer as the Scripture defines a believer. There are many misconceptions within the church about what a believer is or isn't. We want to know what the Scripture says, amen? And so we want you to know that you are right before God without the slightest hesitation. We must be more than a Christian by title. We must be a Christian by faith, for the one is lost and the other is saved. Letter B. This morning we will read of a group who believed they were in good standing with God but were not, and of another group who truly came to believe in Jesus. From this we will learn what it means to believe in Jesus. As our text opens with Jesus teaching within the temple complex in the court of the women, at the treasury where the people deposited the offerings, we only would hope that our places where we deposit our offerings would be busy places also. In the temple there at the treasury, it was a very busy and public place where men and women alike heard the Lord's teaching. Having announced himself to be the light of the world and showing that his testimony regarding himself met the legal standard of the law and was to be accepted as true, and with the Jewish authorities desiring to do him harm but being unable to because his hour had not yet come, we then come to verse 21 where Brother Leroy began to read. He said therefore again to them, that is Jesus said again to them, I go away, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. Because the Jewish authorities doubted the Lord, failing to believe him at his word, saying that his testimony about himself was not true, our Lord, in return, and in great grace and loving kindness, directly addressed them, telling them of the awful consequence of their stubborn belief. It is loving to tell someone when they are wrong. Roman numeral 1, Jesus said, therefore again to them, the Jewish authorities, I go away, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. He said, therefore, again. Earlier, he had said this very same thing, John chapter 7, verse 33 through 34. For a little while longer I am with you, then I go to him who sent me. You shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, you cannot come. Church, see here the great patience our Lord had toward the lost, that even while they accused him a liar and sought his very life, that he would stand before them, warning them of their impending doom, not seeking to save his own life, but seeking to save theirs. Surely, our God is a God of love, and this warning is a warning of love given that they might turn from their unbelief. While the Lord repeated his warning, here in our text, the warning is identified, for he added these words, and you shall die in your sin. In just 6 months from this time, the time of our text, Jesus was to go away as he would die upon the cross, rise again, and ascend to the Father. When that event took place, they would seek him. He said, I will go away. Where I'm going, you cannot come. You will seek me. How will they seek him? Well, I suppose there are many ways to apply this, as the commentators do. But how they will seek him is not so much the concern as this, that though they would seek him, they would die in their sin. That's the concern. The light they rejected and desired to murder would depart, and however it might be that they would seek him, they would not be able to find him, and they would die in their sin. How terrifying. Jesus is presenting before them that they are lost, as I repeated so many times several months ago. If you want someone to get saved, you have to first show them they're lost. You can't show them the way until they're willing to realize they need to know the way. So Jesus is showing them that they're lost. Letter A. Having rejected the only way to the Father, they were to die in their sin of unbelief, and they would be prevented from going where Christ was to go, for the door to heaven would be closed for them. Jesus said, chapter 10, verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved. And of course, then the opposite is true. If they do not enter through him, they will not be saved. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved. And he said in chapter 14, verse 6, no one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus is the only way. And Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes the judgment. Jesus told them where he was going, they would not be permitted to go, for they would have died in their unbelief, and being judged, they would be shut out of heaven forever and ever. And forever and ever, family, is a long, long time. How horrible to be shut out of heaven because of one's unbelief. They would not be allowed to go where Jesus was going because that's the place where the Holy God dwells in all of his fullness, and no unholy thing can enter in. How can darkness go where the light does not even permit the slightest shadow? Shall that which is impure enter the presence of the pure God? Shall a lie dwell among truth? Those who fail to believe cannot go where Christ is going, for having rejected him, they will be prevented from entering in, barred from heaven. Can you imagine being barred from heaven? Do you remember the story Jesus told about the rich man and Lazarus? That rich man, when he was in that place where he wanted his thirst to be quenched, he would have gone to the other side if he could have, but he was barred. There is a time when we can accept Christ, but beloved, for each one of us, there will come a time that we cannot. We will not be allowed. And those who do not trust in Christ as their Savior will be barred from heaven. As these in our text will not to see the light, verse 22 tells us of their sad and their sadistic response to the Lord. Therefore the Jews were saying, surely he will not kill himself, will he, since he says, where I'm going, you cannot come. Earlier, a few months ago, we read when Jesus said that he was going away. And that time, they thought that there was no place that he could go where they could not find him. So they scoffed at him, asking if he was going to go to the dispersion among the Greeks. Remember that? If he was going to go and teach the Greeks. Here they mocked him all the more intensely, suggesting that perhaps he was planning on committing suicide. To help us to understand their thoughts, we can read of the Jewish historian Josephus, as he wrote, the souls of those whose hands have acted madly against themselves, that is, who have committed suicide, are received by the darkest place in Hades. So we understand that the Jews believed that if one committed suicide, they were automatically cast into the darkest part of hell. Letter B. In thinking there was only one place Jesus could go that they could not, since they were all of the Jewish race, and being quite sure that they themselves would go to heaven, they sarcastically and blasphemously proposed that he was going to kill himself, which to them meant that he would be cast into the deepest and darkest part of hell for all eternity. From this, then, we see how sure they were, those Jewish leaders, the religious authorities, we see how sure they were that they were right with God, when in fact they were not. Beloved, they were students of the Scripture. They were experts in the law. They were religious people to the max, who observed the holy days. They went to the temple. They held positions of prominence, and they were sure that heaven was theirs, but they were lost. How blinding is the darkness of sin. So deceptive is sin that one can think they walk in the light when in fact they stumble in darkness. So deviant is sin that in it one can think they are right before God when in fact they are violent enemies opposed to God. We would do well this morning in the care of our soul to consider this truth, for the darkness of sin is alarmingly deceptive. We, family, must shine the light of truth upon ourselves that we might see a true reflection in the mirror of His Word, that we might see ourselves not as we think we are or as we desire to be, but as God views us exactly as we are. So if we see that there is a blemish, if there is something wrong, we might correct it. Sin is deceptive, and we must pay attention and see ourselves as God sees us. Well, as these Jews were saying these things to Jesus, blaspheming him, suggesting he might commit suicide, verse 23, Jesus was saying to them, "You are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world." Now, some read this and think Jesus is just kind of telling them off, but actually, Jesus is ministering to them. He's telling them why they don't understand what he's saying. He's showing them their lostness. So instead of responding in kind to their insult, Jesus ministered by speaking the truth that they might hear and believe. And let us not forget, they were in this busy place at the treasury, in the court of the women, in the temple complex. And many others were bearing witness of this exchange. And no doubt, what Jesus said was as much for the good of those who observed as it was for the good of those who attacked him. Letter C, Jesus identified that at that present time, they, that is the Jews, were from below. His statement being in the present tense. They might mock him, saying that at some future time, he might kill himself and go to the place below. But in fact, they were at that present time from below. As Jesus will say to them, when we read verse 44, "You are of your father the devil, the father of lies." That is not to say that they couldn't get saved, but that in their present condition they were not right before God. Being lost in the darkness of their sinful unbelief, they currently acted on behalf of hell. Think of that. They persecuted Jesus thinking they were doing God a favor. How deceptive is sin? They were from below. And unless they would repent, they would go to the place below where they said Jesus would go. This truth that Jesus spoke, "You are from below, I am from above, you are of the world, I am not of this world," this truth should have shocked them into reality. For it was not that Jesus would curse himself by committing suicide, but that actually they were actually cursed at the moment, condemned to hell, being in desperate need of salvation. In contrast to them, Jesus is from above. How can he who is from above end up below? The one who is from above will ascend to where he was before. But those who persist in being children of the devil, and I say who persist in it, will go to the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. Matthew 25:41. Number one. Jesus identified why it was that they did not believe him, for he said, "You are of this world." And how could they understand him? For he said, "I am not of this world." They were earthly minded. Jesus is heavenly minded. No wonder they could not comprehend what he was saying. He was telling them flat out, "This is why you don't understand what I'm saying. This is why you don't believe. Because you're mistaken. You're in sin. You're of this world." Jesus spoke to them words of the Spirit. It is as Jesus said in John 6:63, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life." He did not think as they thought. He did not speak as they spoke. And they did not understand him. It's amazing to me. All across the United States of America, we have church growth seminars, and they always tell us to bring God down to the level of the people. Well, Jesus did come to explain the Father to us, that we might see Him and know Him and have this written account. But beloved, the goal is never to bring God down to the base of people. It is to get people to ascend to the height of God. And so Jesus does not sit there and say, well, let me put this in worldly terms so that you might understand. He said, no, you need to come alive in God. You need to be born again. I'm not going to break this down in worldly terms so you can understand it in your sin. You must be born again so you can understand it. You have to no longer be children of the devil. You have to become a child of God so you can understand this. Jesus is trying to raise them to the heights of God. It is because of that, that they were lost in their unbelief. Thinking in fallen human earthly terms that Jesus continued saying, verse 24, I said therefore to you that you shall die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins. Do you see how graciously the Lord Jesus explained their present condition to them? Why would He say that they would die in their sins? To show them they were lost and in need, that they might come to the light. Could our Lord have been any more gracious to those who actually sought to kill Him? Beloved, Jesus could have pronounced a judgment on them at that time, but He did not. He told them their need. And family, again, the Son came to explain the Father. Do you see how long-suffering, how kind and gentle, how patient the Lord is, not wishing that any should perish? Letter D, it was because of their lost condition that the Lord mercifully warned them that they would die in their sins. And someone will say, well, that doesn't sound like mercy to me. Oh, yes, but hear the Lord. For Jesus opened the door of salvation for them, shining the light upon their dark path, showing them the way by saying, unless you believe that I am He. Here is the condition of salvation. One must have faith. They must believe that He is whom He says He is. One must believe in Him. One must believe what He says about Himself. This, family, is an absolute. There is no negotiation on this point. There's no wiggle room. There is nothing subjective in His statement. The reason why souls go below is because they refuse to believe in Him who is from above. And the reason souls go above is because they have believed His word. The Lord's statement, unless you believe that I am He, is an emphatic statement. Here, Jesus made a direct claim to deity. In the Greek manuscripts, the pronoun He is not present. Though not wrong, the pronoun was added by the translators. Without the pronoun, His statement would read thus, unless you believe that I am. Number one, we read in Exodus 3:14, when Moses asked God who he should say sent him to the sons of Israel, God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Here in the text, Jesus used the same expression in referring to Himself, saying, unless you believe that I am. It is to say, as the translators have it, I am He, God Almighty. Because Jesus is God, the great I am, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Jesus is telling them, unless you believe that I am the I am, that I am God. You cannot believe that I am a prophet, merely a prophet. You cannot believe that I am merely a miracle worker. You cannot believe that I am merely a wise man. You must believe that I am God Almighty, the great I am. Jesus said, unless you believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins. And here is the sin that is unto death, to deny the deity of Christ and to die in that denial. One must believe in Him that He is the great God. And without such belief, one will die in their sin unless. Linsky wrote, "The sins of these men will destroy them by robbing them of life eternal only if they refuse to believe in Jesus." The unless clause is pure gospel, extending its blessed invitation anew. Yet it is again combined with a warning about dying in sins. This note of warning, with its terrifying threat, persists because these Jews had chosen the course of unbelief. Yet the unless opens the door of life in the wall of sin. Church, do we see that the very people who sought His life, Jesus did not close the door, but He opened the door for them that they might come in. This is grace, beloved. This is grace. If they would only walk through the door, believing in Him, they would gain life everlasting. But sadly, many of these persisted in their darkened and stubborn unbelief. Being from below and of this world, verse 25, they were saying to Him, "Who are you?" Now they knew of John the Baptist's testimony concerning the Jesus of Nazareth. And how many of His miraculous signs had they heard about and even witnessed? How often had they desired to seize Him but were unable? How many divine words had He spoken to them? And here they are asking Him who He is. Again, I quote Proverbs 4:19 as I did last week. "The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble." In their saying, "Who are you?" it can be taken that they meant, "Who are you to say such things about us that we will die in our sins?" And I think the context actually bears that out. In other words, they were saying, "Who do you think you are to talk to us like that?" So literally, the Jews asked Jesus, "Who are you?" And number one, Jesus said to them, "What have I been saying to you from the beginning?" That is to say, "I already told you who I am. How many times do I have to say the same thing? You just need to believe." That's the way people are. "Well, if God will just do this, if God will just do that." Well, if you'll just believe. If you'll just believe. So again, number one, Jesus said to them, "What have I been saying to you from the beginning?" That is to say, "I am who I said I am. I do not retract a single syllable of what I've said about myself. Though you call me a liar, I have spoken the truth from the beginning. My witness concerning myself does not change. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger. I am the living water. If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." That's who I am. And so I say to you, unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sin of unbelief. And Jesus continued, verse 26, "I have many things to speak and to judge concerning you, but He who sent me is true. And the things which I heard from Him, these I speak to the world." In very simple English, Jesus was saying, "What I'm saying are not my words. They're my Father's words. Not only can I say that unless you believe that I am He, that you will die in your sins, but I have many things to speak and judge concerning you, but not yet, for I am not judging anyone." Chapter 8, verse 15. "But He who sent me is true, and the things which I heard from Him, these are the things that I'm speaking in the world here to you right now. It is not I who say that you are lost in your sins, but is the Father who is in heaven. I am only speaking the things I hear from Him." And being lost in the darkness of their sinful unbelief, verse 27 tells us then, they did not realize that He had been speaking to them about the Father. Now I find that astounding, don't you? Astounding. Can you imagine? All of the talk they've had, and they don't understand He's speaking to them about the Father. Church, let us learn how desperately lost and depraved man is without Christ. Until the Lord turns on the light, the lights are not on. You can hear truth after truth after truth. Until he shines his light on you, you will not understand. They did not realize he had been speaking to them about the Father. They had physical eyes, but they would not see the light of the Son of God. They had physical ears, but they would not hear the truth of Christ. Being dead in their sin, they did not realize that he had been speaking to them about the Father. A.W. Pink wrote, "Oh, the blinding power of prejudice, the darkness of unbelief. How solemnly this reveals the woeful condition that the natural man is in, unable to understand even the Son of God that he was preaching to them. Except a man be born again, he cannot see. And this is the condition of every man by nature." As I read that this week in Pink's commentary, it caused me to rejoice and to thank God that he had been so kind to me. For beloved, if he had not shown his light on me, I would not be here speaking to you today. I would be lost in the gutter of sin. Family, if you believe in Jesus, that he is the Christ, then glorify God. For you and I at one time were just like these unbelievers in our text. We were lost. It is only by the sovereign grace of the sovereign God that we have been granted the faith to believe in Jesus. And so we should rejoice. Amen. We have a tendency to look at such people as this and look down our nose at them. We do. But beloved, the only difference between them and us is that God granted us faith. And so instead of spending our time looking down our nose at them, we should be looking toward God and singing praises to his name. Well, because they did not understand, verse 28, Jesus therefore said, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me." Roman numeral 2. Jesus predicted, if you will, foretold, that there would come a time when they would know that he is the great I am. The time would soon come when they would understand that he did nothing on his own initiative. Shortly they would know that the things he spoke to them were the things the Father instructed him to speak. Letter A. The time would come when they would lift up the Son of Man, that is, when they would crucify him, lifting him up upon the cross. And quoting Pink again, as A.W. Pink put it, the crucifixion would be accompanied and followed by such manifestations of his divine glory that he would be fully vindicated, and many would be convinced that he was indeed the Messiah and that he had done and said only that which he had been commissioned by the Father to do and say. When he was to be lifted up, on the day that he was crucified, though it would be midday, darkness would fall over the whole land. And the veil of the temple would be torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth would shake and the rocks split. And even a centurion soldier who would stand right in front of him upon seeing the way he breathed his last would say, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." And remembering his promise to rise again, these Jewish religious leaders would post a guard at his tomb. But on the third day, there would be a severe earthquake, for an angel of the Lord would descend from heaven and roll the stone away and sit upon it. And those guards, those big, strong guards commissioned by Rome itself, would shake for fear and become like dead men. And some of that guard would go into the city, report to the chief priests all that happened, and the priests would bribe the guards with a large sum of money to lie and say the disciples came and stole him away by night. Beloved, the day would come when they would know that Jesus is the Son of God. Whether they would believe in him or not, that's another story, but the day would come. It would be clear to them. And Jesus was telling them, "It's coming. You will see." Indeed, as Jesus said, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me." And as Dr. Luke recorded the book of Acts for us, on the day of Pentecost and following thereafter, many Jews came to believe. For after they had lifted him up, they then knew that what he said was true. "I am he." Jesus therefore said, When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me. And verse 29, and He who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to Him. Jesus is showing them the difference between them and He. You guys do what you do for the pleasure of men. I do what I do for the pleasure of God. You're from below. I'm from above. You're of this world. I'm not from this world. Jesus stood, and He spoke with a calm confidence and a bold and commanding authority. For He knew that despite their unbelief, despite their great displeasure, despite the fact that they desired to kill Him, He was not alone, for the Father was with Him. And Jesus knew perfectly well that what He did was pleasing to His Father, and His Father's will was all that mattered to Him. He is His Father's beloved, in whom the Father is well pleased. To Jesus, it mattered not what men thought, but what mattered to Him was the Father's will. And Christian, we need Christians that take this attitude today, that they're not concerned about what men say, but they're concerned about the Heavenly Father's will. When we take that stand, beloved, the world will notice the church. We must live according to the will of the Father. Well, what's the result of all this? Verse 30, and this is Roman numeral 3. As He, Jesus, spoke these things, many came to believe in Him. Dear church, do you see what glorious heavenly good the Father works in the middle of earthly troubles? See what glory the Father renders from among fallen, sin-darkened men as a ray of holy light beams in? Who but God alone can defeat the enemy of belief, glorious God that He is? Many came to believe in Him. The opposition was strong. They were in the center there in the temple complex. He was being attacked. They desired to kill Him. But in the midst of that, the truth of Christ went out and many came to believe in Him. Praises be to the Lord our God. Amen. As He answered these who would kill Him, as He said only what the Father willed Him to say, many came to believe. As Jesus spoke these things, if it was at these things that Jesus spoke that many came to believe in Him, then we know that the words He spoke were divine words, heavenly words, and we have them recorded for us. And so we have before us words of salvation. If we will believe what is recorded for us, if we will believe what Jesus said, we too will be saved. Letter A, F.F. Bruce wrote, such was the power with which He spoke that many of His hearers were convinced by His words without waiting for the final evidence of His lifting up. Earlier in this year, and I've brought this to our attention many times, in February, when we were learning from chapter 2, we learned of those who believed in His name because of the signs He worked, but that Jesus did not entrust Himself to them. As the scripture says, He knew what was in the heart of a man. But here in contrast, these believed upon hearing His word, and salvation came to them. Letter B, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. And as a result, many of the hearers, the true hearers, believed in Him. What a difference from seeing some sign and saying we believe and hearing the truth and believing in Him. People will say, well, if God will just show me, if He'll just reveal Himself to me. Beloved, He has revealed Himself to you through the written word of God. If you will not believe this book, you will never believe in Him. Oh, but if God would just answer my prayer, if you would just believe. You think God is on the throne seeing whom He can get the best deal with? Who's going to make the best bargain with Him? I tell you, God is not going to be moved. He gave His only begotten Son, and there is no bargaining with God. You have His written word. Will you believe? Number one, and now church, what does it mean to believe in Him? ? Here is all the difference in the world. Here is the difference between heaven and hell. They did not believe in His name because they saw the signs. But many came to believe in him because they heard what he spoke. Because they believed his words, they believed in him. They believed all that he spoke concerning himself, submitting themselves to him. They did not question him like the religious leaders, but they received him for who he was. Thus they ate the bread of life. Thus they drank the living water. Thus they saw the light. Being in darkness no more, they believed in him. They believed what Jesus said about himself. And this is what it means to be saved. Being saved is not a matter of going to the temple or church often. It is not a matter of memorizing scriptures. It is not a matter of attending Bible studies. It is not a matter of even being a teacher of the scripture. It is not a matter of holding some position within the church. It is not a matter of giving in the offering, though all these things are good and ought to be the outpouring of our salvation. What salvation is, what being saved is a matter of, is believing in Christ, having faith in him, subscribing and submitting to all he said, embracing Jesus as the Son of God, the Christ, the one who takes away the sin of the world. That's what it means to be saved. You can tell me about what you do, but we want to know what you believe. Letter C. These Jews thought they were right before God, being God's chosen people, many being Levites, learned men of skill and position. But in all of that, when Jesus spoke, they did not believe in him. And thus, unless they would come to believe in Jesus, that he is the I Am, they would die in their sins. We thank God that though there were those who did not believe, many came to believe in him. And so we come to our closing thoughts. Congregation, we have before us in the text two types of people. Those who did not believe in Jesus and those who did believe in Jesus. And these two groups represent all mankind. So it is proper to ask ourselves, among which of the two groups am I? It's kind of like being on the Titanic. You either got in a lifeboat or you didn't. And that's it. If you hung over the side of a lifeboat, you died. You died to exposure. You either got on or you didn't. There were two types. And so it is of all mankind. Either you believe in Jesus or you don't. There are many who believe lots of things about Jesus, lots of good things about Jesus, but they don't believe in Jesus. They don't believe he is the very Son of God. Now, as I said at the first of this teaching, I am truly concerned for all of you, because unlike Christ, I do not know what is in the heart of a man. I have been fooled many times. We must this day deeply examine ourselves to see if we are of the faith. So again, I'm not asking what do you do, but what do you believe? What do you believe? How awful it would be to be like these men of religion, who thought that they were saved by their belief in God, when it was their lack of belief in the Son of God that actually had them condemned. It is a perilous thing to think oneself spiritually well when they are not, for such a one takes no corrective measure. We must be sure that we truly believe in Jesus, that we embrace him, that every single thing he said about, we say yes and amen, and we take it in and we live by it. It is of necessity to our salvation. Do we think that God grants a faith that is anything less than that? If the faith we have is granted by God, we will embrace his Son fully. Amen? Letter A, one might ask, how then do I know that I am saved? And the answer comes to us this day. You are saved by grace through faith. You are saved by the grace of God, as by his sovereign grace, he grants you faith. So we ask today, do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe the words of Christ? Do you believe what he spoke, all that he said about himself, that he is the Christ? Here is the illness and the remedy. Jesus said that you shall die in your sins unless you believe that I am. Believe in him and you will be saved. Shall we bow our heads? With your heads bowed, I reiterate once again that my great concern this Sunday and, Lord willing, next Sunday is that there might be some who attend church here, who appear in every way to be a Christian, but they have not fully embraced Christ. And again, I reiterate, there's no negotiation in this matter. There's no wiggle room. Either you're in or you're out. And today, if you can hear my voice, then if you're not in, there's still time. Even at this very hour, the Lord Jesus is swinging the door wide open for you. And he says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. If you will come to him and confess that indeed you have sinned, beloved, he will be faithful and just to forgive you of your sin. Come to him while there is time. Come to him. It may be that you have been attending church for 50 years. But you've looked at the Bible with a skepticism. You've read some of the things that Jesus said about himself and some of the great stories of the Bible, and you said, well, I'm not sure about that. Dear one, embrace Christ. Embrace him now. I tell you, you will not get to heaven because you walked through the doors of this church. You will not get to heaven because you gave sacrifice after sacrifice. You will not get to heaven because you taught a Sunday school class. You will go where he is if you enter through the proper door, Jesus Christ. You will only go as you have faith in him. So believe in him. Embrace him. And then let your right living follow your right faith. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you have showed us that we are lost without you. And that through our sin we are separated from the Holy God. Thank you for telling us, O God, thank you for telling us that we will die in our sins unless we believe that Jesus is the Christ. Thank you for the honest truth, Lord. We need to hear it. And we thank you today that we have breath that we might draw another moment of life, that we might have this time to come to you repentant, asking for the forgiveness of our sin as we embrace your Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, grant us this faith that we might believe. By your great grace, O Lord, you, Lord, who love to show mercy, Lord, you who loves to show kindness, you, O God, who loves to forgive, forgive us. Grant us this faith by your mercy and grace that we might boldly come into the throne room and sit at your feet as your very own children, that we might be sons and daughters of the living God. So today, I confess with everything that is in me that I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I believe this today because you, O Sovereign Lord, placed it within my heart. And so I thank you. It is all to the praise of the glory of your name. Keep us, Lord. Save us and keep us, we pray. In the name of Christ, amen. What great promise we have in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Reading selected verses from Isaiah chapter 9. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. You shall multiply the nation. You shall increase their gladness. They will be glad in your presence. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Beloved, I would ask today, do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe that he is the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Eternal Father, the Prince of Peace? If you have not believed this, then today believe, and salvation will visit your house. Amen. May God bless you as you go your way today. As you go, love one another, and we stand ready to pray with you if you would like. God bless you.